Hello and welcome back to Ram Yomi. We are now in the third parak of Avodas Kochavim, and we're going to jump right in. So we've been talking about the Yisrael Avodas Kochavim, how it got started basically in the history of the first 20 generations of the world from Adam Arishon, beginning with Enosh and his generations, mistakes, and all of the subsequent mistakes going forward until Avram found the Ribbono Shel Olam. But essentially what happened was the people in the entire world started serving Avodas Kochavim as a means of serving God, but then ultimately it led to actually serving angels or spheres or stars, and all of that falls into the Isser of Avodas Kochavim. So what happens if someone actually does Avodas Kochavim Birtsono? So we're going to get into some of the nitty-gritty today of exactly what is Avodas Kochavim, what is Avodas Zarah. Yesterday we focused on some other additional topics, kind of fall into like the understanding of Avodas Kochavim. Is basically what you're doing is turning your back on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's why the halachos of a blasphemer basically take up half of last parak. And now we're going right really into what is Avodas Kochavim and what happens if you do it. Avodas Kochavim Beretzonu Bezadon Chayev Karos Vim Hayu Sham Edim Ha'asa Niskal Vim Ava Beshgaga Maybe Karvan Chatas Kavua. Says the Rambam, if you do have a desire, not only if you do it willingly, birtzono, and as a conscious act of defiance, bizadon, right? So then you're chayev and kares. Then you get kares, and if you have two edim and two witnesses and warning beforehand, you get skila, you get misa, the form of death through stoning. If you do it bishgagma, if you do it inadvertently, so then at that point you'd bring a karbon chatas, you'd bring a sacrifice for your chait, for your sin. The Rabbaz points out in his Shadas and Chuvos that the Rambam uses this terminology of birtzono bizadon, this idea of willingly and act of conscious act of defiance, with regard to a number of different halachos. Number one is this one, the prohibition against idolatry. When the first parak of Hilchos Shabbos, he says it regarding Shabbos, and the first parak of Hilchos Shvi'is Asar for Yom Kippur, he says the same exact terminology. And with all the other Isurim that have kares, he simply says bizadon. He doesn't say birtzono. So the Rabbaz explains that it's possible that Rambam actually is mentioning the idea of birtzono willingly in these first three because they are the first cases of kares mentioned in the Mishnah Torah. So because they're the first ones reflected here, it's not to say that they're actually different than any other ones, but it's simply that they're the first ones, so they get more of a clear description. Beyond that, Rabbaz says, they are also transgressions that people at large would consider to be most severe, right? Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and obviously, as we're talking about now, with idolatry. So as I'm mentioning the concept on these three occasions, Rambam does not basically think to repeat this idea that it needs to be birtzono in further times. Obviously, we don't know exactly what the Rambam was thinking, but the Rambam tries to understand why in some cases he says birtzono, not in other cases. Halacha Beis. We actually pointed this out in the history of Avodah Zarah, that each idol got its own, each form of Avodah Zarah got a false god, got its own, not only tzura, not only its own image, but also its own kind of action, or service, type that would basically be used to service that a false god. The avodah zeh ena ki avodah zeh, they're different from each other. Like gon peor, right? It's about peor. Shavadasa shepoer adam atzmo lo. Right? Markulis, which we also mentioned earlier. Shavadasa sheyizrak lo avonim. Right? So when it comes to peor, the about peor, the actual form of it might come as being surprising of serving the Baal Peor is to defecate before it. And when it comes to Markulis, as we mentioned earlier, some We actually mercury was the was it when it came up. It came up a couple of about a week and a half ago. That we view something as being as if you're throwing rocks at this, which is the form of serving miraculous by throwing stones or clearing away stones from it. That was the way of serving that Avodah Zarah, and every other, there were different services that were instituted for all the other Avodah Zarahs. It's a good point. The Gemara in Sanhedrin points out on Samech Dalet Amud Aleph that clearing away the stones seems to be like it's an odd idea. Right? If the whole service is throwing the stones, so why would clearing the stones be part of the Avodah of Markulis? And the answer is because when you clear stones away, you actually leave more room for throwing new stones, and so therefore that's part of the actual service of that of Markulis, because the stone throwing the stones is the ikar avodah, so to speak, and clearing the stones just makes it is kind of a means to an end to be able to accomplish more of that. Let's say you did the opposite. Let's say you threw a stone not at Markulis but rather at Baal Peor, and you defecated by Markulis instead of throwing the stone. Potter, in those cases, you're potter. You have to do it in the right way, basically. You have to do it the way that you're actually servicing that false god. If you're not, then you're potter. I'm going to do it the way that they do it. Says the Rambam, that's why the Beis Din needs to know basically what all the different types of Avodah Zorah are and how to serve them, because stoning only happens if you're doing it the right way. What's fascinating and why the Rambam feels the need to say this is because if you go back one chapter and also in Halakha Beis, we're now in Halakha Beis in chapter Gimel, and Halakha Beis in chapter Beis is that the Rambam said it's totally usur to study the ways of the idolaters, and we shouldn't want to look into it, and we shouldn't want to know about it, et cetera, because the more you think about it, the more you're involved in it, the more you might, specifically says, you might end up going down the wrong path. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin as well, and now in Samech Ches Amud Aleph, points out that even if that is the case, there's license to the Talmid Chachamim to learn about this and to learn this, to learn specifically in order to know, basically how to respond in cases to know the basics of serving various idols. Good. Right, and so this the warning basically not to do any types of these words. It says lo saavdeim. The pasuk says don't serve them. So what we were just describing as these subjective kind of or specific types of avodah of service towards specific false gods, those are specific cases, but there are also general forms of avodah zarah that apply to every single type of that apply to every single type of avodah zarah. What are those cases? So mishtachaveh, if someone bows down to an idol, even if their idol, Rama's going to say in a second, even if that idol's way of servicing that idol is not through bowing down, still bowing down is a problem. And so that's like a uniform form of avodah zarah. Mishtachaveh, bowing, zoveach, slaughtering an animal specifically, umaktir, bringing a burnt offering, right? Menaseh, offering a form of a libation. We're going to see that there's like a liberal understanding of what these, what Menaseh is, for example. It doesn't only have to be a libation of, wine or water. It could be other forms of libation as well. So we'll see in a moment what that's referring to. Even though Baal Peor's general mode of service is not through bowing, if someone comes over to bows or gives a libation to it, that even though it's usually the defecating, which is the way to service it, still you're chayiv, and that's avodah zarah for real. Ketzad, harei shenisach lepeor. as we were just talking about, if you, let's say you give one libation to a Baal Por, or shezavach l'marakulis, or you gave a korban to marakulis, chayim shnemar zaveach Elohim yacharam biltila Hashem levado. Says the Rambam, the reason we know this is because the pasuk says you should give a zevach to Hashem, you should give a korban to Hashem, and any, you know, you shouldn't basically do that for anyone else. So certain these actions, these four actions are intended to be reserved specifically for God. And so therefore, if I do it for any other God, then it's actually clearly Avodah Zarah. Zvicha b'chlal Avodah Haisa, v'lama yatas lomar lecha mazvicha. So what comes out of this? Why does the pasuk specifically point out Zvicha? Mazvicha miyuchedah she'obdin vo l'Hashem, just as slaughtering an animal is specifically reserved for Hashem, chay v'zoveh l'kel, again, so because it's service specifically to God, if you do it for any other avodah zarah, so then you have skila, whether the way of doing the service is with that with the korban or not. Af kol avodah shehi miyuchedas l'Hashem im avodah. So this is now applies to every form of avoid the service specifically for Hashem. If you do it, it's the elachar. But we're talking about a false god. Bein shahaisa derech avodaso b'kach, bein sheina b'kach chayev aleha. So even if it's not the way that you usually do that, for that avodah zarah, still you're chayev. B'kach shenemar l'shdach avodah elachar chayev al shdach avoyo afilu ein derech avodaso b'kach. So as I said before, at the very end he throws in, if you throw sprinkling blood, basically we're going to treat it also as a form of libation. That's not a separate entity in and of itself. So those four actions of slaughtering, of giving a libation, and bringing a burnt offering, all of those would be examples of ways of serving any form of avodah zarah to be chayav for that. Halacha dalet, safas la soa o shenias nisach la avit shall meir glayim chayav. So let's say someone pours feces, or they pour a libation of urine. So in those cases you be chayav. So again, this is we're talking about in any case, even not only the Baal Peor, where it's like obvious that, you know, the feces would be a component of the Baal Peor. No, let's say you do it on something else. And again, you collect this and you go throw it at these other things. And one might perceive that as being like a something that's like terrible, something that's like, not terrible, the Avodah Zarah view is terrible. The people that serve the Avodah Zarah view, a Jew might say, this is my way of getting back at Avodah Zarah. I'm going to throw some, feces at this Avodah Zarah. So it says a chayav. Shachad lo chagav patur, elo im kein haisa avodah sabakach. So let's say you slaughter a locust in front of it. So unless it's the way of servicing that avodah zarah, then you're a patur. Ve'ichein im shachad lo behema mechuseres eiver patur, elo im kein haisa derech avodah sabakach. So let's say you slaughter an animal that has missing a limb. Clearly, these are not forms of kavod to, in general. So therefore, if you do it, it would be potter, unless you're specifically supposed to bring an animal that's missing an aver for this avodah zarah. Let's say you have an avodah zarah that you're supposed to serve with a staff, hitting a staff in front of it. Shavar makel b'faneh chayiv neser. Let's say you break a staff in front of it, you're chayiv, and then that staff is now also to use. Zarek makel b'chonela. Let's say you throw a makel. Let's say you throw that staff in front of it. Chayev ve'ein neseres. It's you're chayev because you did the wrong thing. You're not supposed to do that. But it's not usher to use that the makel anymore. Why? She'ein zrikas makel ke'ein zrikas adam. Because as we said before, zrika is the one type of kind of these four that we're going to view liberally, but not that liberally. Throwing a staff is not like zrika sadam. It's not like spilling blood, and therefore shavu hamaka kamoshu kub v'hadam mispazer. Why? Because when it comes to dam, when you're sprinkling dam, it goes to all different places, and when you throw a staff, it stays as one piece. I'm a kabbalah love. It doesn't go into like a hundred different pieces. I'm a kabbalah love. Echa mikol mini avodas v'chavim If someone accepts any type of avodah zarah as their god, that's already enough to get chayiv and skila. Even if you pick up one single brick and you say to it, "Oh, you're my God," or anything like that, you're chayiv from that. We pointed out yesterday, basically trying to reverse what one was saying, which generally does work in other areas of halacha. In the area of halacha for avodah zarah, we don't view it as them trying to as changing anything. They already said to the brick that you're the God, so that already alone, that kind of affirmation is enough to get skila right off the bat. It doesn't require one. So now what we've seen so far is three different ways of basically doing avodah zarah, in the appropriate way. One is to find the actual action of avodah zarah required by a specific avodah zarah, and to do that action. Okay, because that's like defecating by a baal peor. That's the example. And so that would be avodah zarah. If you did defecation by the makrilis, which is where you throw stones is the way of servicing it, so you did the wrong thing there, so that would not be the appropriate form of avodah zarah, and it would not, you would be potter in that situation. Fine. So that's rule number one. Rule number two we've seen is that there are four categories of service that we are supposed to be reserved from the Baal Nishrolam, and therefore if you do them for any form of avodah zarah, yichayiv, even if that's not the way of servicing the avodah zarah. As we said, bowing, bringing a karban, doing a wine libation, and bringing a burnt offering, right? So all of those cases would be all of those four cases would be chayiv no matter what the situation. And now we're saying there's another category. The next category is if you simply just affirm that a avodah zarah is your God, so to speak, is your avodah zarah, so then that's enough right off the bat to be chayiv in skila, because you don't have to actually bow and you don't have to defecate or anything. You just say this brick is my God, so that already is chayiv in skila, the chayiv at that point for avodah zarah. I open the list of chavim kedarka v'afilu also derech v'zayon chayiv. So now we have a fourth category. Let's say you do that the avodah zarah, and you do the avodah zarah, they do the service that's accepted by that specific avodah zarah, but it's done in a derisive manner. It's done v'zayon. It's intended to be like a v'zayon kesa. Hapar atzma l'for kedei l'vazoso. Says the Rambam, you're still chayiv in the following case. Let's say someone walked up to the Baal Peor, and since the form of Baal Peor of service is through defecating, but to me, I hear defecating in front of Baal Peor, I actually think that that's intended to be like a lack of respect for that avodah zarah, not the other way around. So so I did it to show zero respect to the avodah zarah and to try to make a bizayon to the avodah zarah. I wanted to push the avodah zarah away and to make a point. Well, guess what? If that's the form of avodah zarah, if that's the form of doing the action, or if I take a stone and I throw it at the makrilis because I'm trying to break it, right? But that was actually the way of servicing the makrilis. So then I'm still chayiv in those situations, and I have to bring a karban on my shgaga, because clearly I had an inverted understanding that I wasn't that I still wasn't supposed to do that, even though that's what I thought would be a good idea in my mind. So now we have another category. So that was category four. If you do it b'derech v'zayon, now what happens if you do it b'derech ava or yirah? So let's say a person is doing avodah zarah out of love. He goes, "Chashak betzura, obim name elachta shehaisa na'i v'yoseh." Let's say he likes he's servicing basically avodah zarah because of love, right? He has a certain liking to the image, or he finds it to be very attractive, wherever it is. So let's say he's doing avodah zarah because of that. Oh, sha'av the miyur also. Let's say he's afraid. Lo, right? Shema tare lo kemo shehein dam of da shehi metiva mereya. So that's the way they used to say it. Basically, the people in the town would come in and say, "Ah, if you don't serve this idol, so terrible things are going to happen to you." and you know, and tell them things happen to your children, and you lose your parnasa, blah, 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 blah. So they would scare people. They had scare tactics. So if you don't do, or if you do serve, then you will have a good crop this season, etc. So let's say I served the Avodah Zarah. Let's say someone would serve the Avodah Zarah out of this fear, kind of out of these emotions, so to speak, fear or love. Even kibla love of aloka chayim skiba. Let's say through that experience, even if it's out of love or fear, you accept. Again, this goes back to category four, where you accept the Avodah Zarah as a form of. I'm sorry, category three. You accept the Avodah Zarah as a form of. As your God, so then you got skila. That's it. You know, even if it's out of love, out of fear, it doesn't matter. If you set it as your God, good. Let's say you just do the avodah the way that it's supposed to be done, or you do one of the four. Achas mi'arba avodas mi'avo mi'yura. If you do one of the four through avo or yura, putter. At that point, you are putter. The Ravid, you know, makes a point that the cases of love or fear here are actually love or fear of people, not of the Avodah Zarah, meaning that the love of, you have a love of a specific person, you fell in love with someone, and they brought you to Avodah Zarah. So again, you're not supposed to do that, but if you actually do these actions, so then it says the Ravid, sounds like that the Ravid is saying, that's this case right here, that's when you would be putter, because you're not acting to serve the God, you're acting to serve your own personal emotional state. It doesn't sound like the Rambam is directly saying that here. It sounds more like you're afraid of not servicing this Avodah Zarah because of what might happen to you or your family, either from people or from, you know, that false God as well. And so if you accept it as a God, no good. That's it. Done. You're chayav. But if you don't accept it as a God, you're just doing one of the actions out of Av or Yira, so in those cases, you would be Potter. Says the Rambam, now we have another category. So that was category five. So again, we've had the approach of doing the Avodah Zarah the way that the Avodah Zarah is supposed to be done. That's category one. Category two is any of the big four that are supposed to be reserved for God. Category three is accepting a brick or any form of Avodah Zarah as your God. That would be enough already to have skila. Then category four is doing it in a way that it's supposed to be derech bizayon. It's doing it really just to say, oh, I don't really like this Avodah Zarah, but yet it's still Avodah B'kach. Okay, we saw that. And now we saw category five is, let's say, doing it out of Av or Yira. What are the distinctions that kind of come up? Now, category six. What happens if you're just doing something that's supposed to be the kavod? You're just doing something to give honor to Avodah Zarah, but it's not really a form of service, right? So, you know, for example, if you embrace Avodah Zarah in the way of kissing it or sweeping it or giving it a hug, right? Or mopping around it or washing it or anointing it or dressing it, or putting shoes on it, or something else like that. So in those cases, you're over the lota, say, the negative prohibition, lo sa'avdein, you should not serve them. These are considered to be forms of service, not in the forms of that we said before, but this is a whole new category of service here. You have a pichein, nevertheless, ain't a loka, alachas mehen, lefi she'ein ha'meferosh, since the Torah doesn't specifically tell you these are the categories of serving this Avodah Zarah, and it doesn't say it explicitly that this is what it had in mind, so then you can't get Malkus for any of these. So now it says, but remember, go back to our previous category, our category one. If you do any of these things, let's say hugging the Avodah Zarah was the form of doing that Avodah Zarah, or kissing that Avodah Zarah was the form of doing that Avodah Zarah, and you did it with the intention of serving that Avodah Zarah, as opposed to just, you know, that's why he includes the words here, of the Vaso, of the, if you do it, intent, right, maybe it's not, you don't necessarily need Kavana, but you do this action of worship, so at that point you're Chayiv, even though it was part of category six, doesn't matter, it could rise, any of these categories could rise up to category one if category one, again, category one is doing, is like the Baal Peor, defecating by Baal Peor, is doing the action that is necessary for that specific Avodah Zarah. So if any one of these, you know, subcategories are which we would only say is a low tase, and we would say is not the malchus a bull. You can't really get lashes. Nevertheless, if it was actually the way of servicing that god, so then you would be in big trouble. Halacha Zion. Yashav lo kotz viraglo lifnav of the skokovim. So now in category 7 is kind of things to be careful of. Let's say you have a splinter right in front of the middle of the skokovim. Lo yashoach vitlanu mipneishin nirek yishlach avelo. And the second category, which we'll read, and then we'll explain both. This pazru lo maos mitfadal lo yashoach, right? Again, lo yashoach vitlanu mipneishin says the Rambam of two cases. One is you had a splinter in your foot right in front of the Chavim. Don't bend down right in front of the Chavim and try to take out the splinter. Basically walk away a little bit and then take away the splinter out there, which is fascinating again because it's painful right now. Doesn't matter. Don't bend. Why? And what's the concern? Because if you bow down right in front of it and take out the splinter, people around you are going to say, whoa, he is servicing that Avodah Zarah. That's a problem. Right? So that's an important thing. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that if a person turns his back or his side to the idol, and then his bowing would go down, then that would not be considered to be an act of deference, and no prohibition would be involved. So yes, it's true. You're not supposed to, be bowing down directly to it. So you just turn around basically, and then you could deal with the splinter. The same thing, let's say your money, had been scattered all around the idol, right in front of the idol, and you have to pick it up. So how should you pick up the money? Because obviously we can't just say, you know, turn around or walk away and then deal with it because the money's there. So what do you do? So in that case, the Rambam says sit down and then start picking it up from being on the floor, right? So you're not bowing down, you're sitting down, and then you start picking up what's on the floor. Okay, so that's another category to be concerned about. Along these lines of things to be concerned about, what happens if part sufus and mechalkas mayim b'fnei avos hakochavim lo yaniach piv al piem yishnachem b'fneishen nirekim menashek avos hakochavim. So sometimes basically the water fountains in towns would be basically part of the avodah zarah. So one should not put their mouth on the mouths of these statues, because even though that's servicing as a fountain to be able to drink from, it would appear as you're kissing an Avodah Zarah, which again, we said was one of that category 6, I think we said, of, or maybe 7, of servicing, again, the Rambam is not giving these categories, I am, just to clarify, but it's one of the categories of the Kavod, which really isn't explicitly said in the Torah, so it would be a low tase without malchus. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, don't go and start kissing or putting your mouth to there, even just to drink, because again, just like the picking up of the money or getting the splinter out, it would look like you're servicing that idol. Also, I was going to call them the asmo. Right, so now we're going to deal with what happens if you make an Avodah Zarah, essentially. So Halacha Tes through Halacha Yud Aleph now is going to be about making Avodah Zarah, creating images and the like. So what have you make Avodah Zarah for yourself? If you cause Avodah Zarah to be made for yourself, even if you didn't make it yourself, even if you didn't serve it, the Halacha specifically says you're not allowed to make Avodah Zarah, even if it's not to serve. Even if you're not serving it yourself, if you employ someone to make a reserve for you, you are hired. Let's say someone makes it not for themselves, they make it for someone else. I feel all saw that was a kavim. Even if they intend to make it specifically for the purposes of the zara, or for someone who does actually service of the zara, so clearly that person is going to serve it. Nevertheless, loka, the person himself who made it, gets malchus. Don't make these images. Don't make these idols. Says the Rambam, what happens if you do both? Right, you make it, and right again, you make it, and it's for yourself. Right, that's very, very fascinating. You make it and it's for yourself. So you did both sides of this equation. We just said if someone else makes it for you, that person, you get malchus because you employed them. If you make it for someone else, you get malchus because you made it. But if you make it and it is for yourself, so you should get double, says the Rambam. And when we get to Hilchos Sanhedrin, we'll understand how these punishments are administered to get to more than one set of malchus at a time. Okay, some are going to ask the question. Maybe that's a lot of shibach lalos. Maybe it's considered to be a category where we basically it's all part of the same issur here. Don't count these as separate mitzvahs. It's all one big mitzvah. But the Rambam would disagree. Also asks tsuros lanoi bi'af al pi she'ena was gechavim shenem arlos asuniti kolomar tsuros shalkesav ezav she'ena ela lanoi kidei shelo yitu b'chena toim. Says the Rambam, you can't make any images that are for decorative purposes, even if they don't represent Avodah Zarah, if they don't represent false gods. Because the Pasuk specifically says, when it comes to these things, don't do this in the areas of gold and silver. Why? Even for decorative purposes. Why? Because other people are going to see that and say, oh, must be for Avodah Zarah. But the only issur really here is to make a for the decorative images is to make a human form specifically. That's why we don't make a image of a person in wood or cement or stone. Says the Rambam, this applies specifically with an image that is protruding, right? So images and sculptures that are made basically in hallways, so like a bust or whatever it is. So those things would be usher to make, right? So, and what happens if you make it? Look at imsar, you do it, you get malchus. About im ha'isatzu mishikas. Says the Rambam, what happens if you make human images that are basically engraved? They're not protruding from the thing, but they're actually engraved into it, or a painting, or a portrait, or whether it's on wood or on stone, all that, or like a tapestry of them. So all that would be mutter to do. Okay, are elu mutaros. Those are mutaros. And the last halacha here, many of the commentaries point out that what the Rambam clearly is making a point about in the halacha yud is that for decoration purposes it is usur, but teach for the purposes of a demonstration, right? So teach let's say the basin. To teach the basin about, or to use it as a tzura to teach about the body, for example. So in those cases, that would be a mutter, meaning if it's for decorative purposes, it's no good. But let's say you want to make an image of a body to be able to teach a doctor about different parts of the body. Says, again, the Rambam is not explicitly saying this, but some point out, since the Rambam only talks about Lanoi, if it's not Lanoi, if it's actually with another purpose in mind, then it should be acceptable. That's also says the Rambam, what happens if you have a signet ring, right? So let's say it has a human image in it. If the image is protruding, which we said was a problem, so then it's forbidden to wear that. But guess what? It is permitted to use it as a seal. Why? Because when it is protruding in the ring, when you put it into the clay that it's going to stamp and then harden as, the image is going into the clay as, and now it's going to be engraved in the clay as opposed to protruding from the clay. And so therefore using it would be actually acceptable, but wearing it would be usur. The same would be the opposite. Let's say the image in the ring is engraved into the ring. It's not protruding. So there it's permitted to wear it, but it is forbidden to use it as a seal. Why? Because ultimately what's going to happen, when you put it down into that clay, so then that's going to actually create an image that does protrude. So you can see how both sides of this one. Says the Rambam, it's also to make any form of images of the sun, the moon, the stars, constellations, or angels. The Pesukim can tell us. And this applies even to pictures on like a stone or on like a board. Tzuras behemos shar nefesh chayo chutz min ha'adam tzuras ha'ilanos d'shayim v'chayos behem mutul atzurosam u'filu ha'isa atzura boletus. Even if the following things are going to protrude, it is mutter to make these for other living things and other living beings and animals. Basically any living being that is not a human would be acceptable to make, including also images of trees and grass, and even though trees could have been, you might have said, wait a second, but people service trees. Nevertheless, it would be again mutter to make those things there as well. Okay, what obviously how all this applies halakha lemaisa today to the art realm and to is worthwhile to look into. It is not simple to just say one way or the other right now, but it is definitely something that needs to be checked, you know, before doing anything that's going to involve a tsura like any of these things. The simple understanding of the realm is that they would be usur to make or to create, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, as we pointed out, there are a bunch of different categories of Avodah Zarah that would make one chayav. We went through a bunch of new categories. One is simply by doing that Avodah Zarah in the way that it's supposed to be done. Then we talked about the four universal ones that are basically supposed to be reserved for God, bowing, servicing God through, servicing the fake God, the false God through slaughtering, bowing, libations, or burnt offering, or any of those cases would be us, or even if it wasn't the way of servicing those. What happens if you do it the wrong direction? Let's say you do the pa'or for the makalos, or makalos for the pa'or. So in those cases, you'd be caught there. What happens if you are trying to do it derech bizayon? So we said that you would, again, it would be, if it's the way that it's accepted, then you'd still be chayiv, and you have to bring a korban, because you did it b'shgagah. And what happens if you do it out of love or fear? So we pointed out that if you accept the God, sorry, I skipped one. If you accept the God, we'll get to that in a second. If you accept the God as your God, so then that would be, in general, that's an answer, even if it's not a God. Even if it's just a brick, that would be usur. Here is saying if you accept a God, or, you know, love for one of these false gods, even if it's out of love or fear, so then that would be chayiv. What happens if you just do all the services out of love and fear? That would be putter. What is the love and what is the fear? Is it of the Avodah Zarah or is it of people? That is up for discussion. Then we talked about kind of the cases about a splinter or the money on the ground or putting one's mouth on an image to get some water. All those would be cases where you got to be careful. Don't do those things because it looks like you're doing the Avodah Zarah. Then we talked about how making Avodah Zarah in general is usur, even if it's not for yourself, so someone else, or if it was, you haven't made for yourself, even if you're not going to service it, all of those would be usur. And if you do both of them, you'd be chayiv makos twice. And we talked about in the end, different images you're not supposed to make, nothing protruding, you know, engraving would be acceptable. And that's referring specifically to a human, form, which would be usur again. If it's protruding, if it's kind of engraving, it could be fine. And we pointed at the end that there are other things, other living beings, animals, etc., where protruding, even protruding would be acceptable. But we also pointed out that the sun, the moon, the stars, constellations, all the areas of the world, so to speak, that people got, you know, so desperately wrong, when they decided to service those things as the form of the Zara instead of God, all of those would be usur to do, even, in any situation. And again, one needs to look into it, especially if they're, you know, involved in art and the like, you know, how much of this, applies to them specifically in their specific cases. We will complete this parak and we'll continue with the next parak, tomorrow.